Our last topic of discussion, and really the purpose for doing the Roman Catholic series, is evangelism strategies. Now remember, we want to make sure our Catholic friends, neighbors, family all know Jesus Christ. They know the truth, and they know that they're set free by faith in Him alone, and they aren't under the burden of trying to constantly do works to keep themselves right with God. Because as humans, we're just going to fail at that. If you can lose your salvation, you would. Now, ironically, what unites them, Roman Catholics, is not Christianity, because Catholic means universal. Then they limit universal with the adjective Roman. And so how that works, I can't really reconcile it. So they're more Roman than they are Catholic. And today, there are a wide variety of understandings and convictions amongst Roman Catholics. So there are older women who cover their heads before entering a church building. There are liberals fighting for the ordination of female priests. There are conservatives that want Mass to return to Latin. There are charismatics who speak in tongues and wish the church would fully embrace the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are liberation theologians who believe the gospel is not about eternity in your soul, but it's about corporate social sin, and that salvation is found in alleviating poverty and pursuing political freedom. All around the world, there are Roman Catholic priests who run guns for freedom fighters in South America, others who withhold communion from women who've had abortions, some who perform gay marriage ceremonies, and others who are helping people understand the Bible better. And all that to say that the spectrum in Roman Catholicism is broad, and the understanding of Roman Catholicism is varied. So don't assume to know and understand exactly where they are, which again makes questions so important. So when you meet a Roman Catholic, or should you know one, don't just assume because you know what the Roman Catholic Church teaches in doctrine, like we've discussed in the other parts of this series, don't assume they know all that and ask them a lot of questions. So evangelizing Roman Catholics, it's very difficult. First, Roman Catholics believe they already understand what Christianity is, and they believe that they are Christians, and they don't need to hear the gospel. They might ask you, why are you evangelizing me? Why are you sharing the gospel with me? I'm a Christian too. Second, many Roman Catholics do not know or understand what the Roman Catholic Church's official teachings are, or how it differs from the Bible. And third, there are many, many different kinds of Roman Catholics. So when you talk with your Roman Catholic friends and family, try to get a sense for what category they fit into. And the two categories we're primarily going to talk about here is one, practicing and believing Roman Catholics, and two, not practicing Roman Catholics. Practicing and believing Roman Catholics. These Roman Catholics understand official Roman Catholic dogma. They believe it and they practice it. And the best strategy with them is to know your Bible well and engage them in loving discussions about what the Bible actually says. And for this kind of Roman Catholic, here are a few pointers for discussing the Bible and how it differs from the Roman Catholic Church's teaching. So on the sufficiency of Scripture, it's important to note that the Scripture itself claims it is sufficient. If, therefore, Roman Catholic tradition claims to be equal with Scripture, it contradicts Scripture, which claims it has no equal. So if you have two authorities that contradict each other, you have no coherent system of belief. Simply put, the Bible says that the Bible is sufficient, but the Roman Catholic Church says the Bible is not sufficient, that it needs the church tradition and the church itself. Let's look at a couple scriptures together. 2 Timothy 3:15. From childhood, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So Paul here tells Timothy that Scripture is all he needs to be instructed for salvation. The next verses, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, very well known. It's the passage in which Paul says that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. But note how he ends this passage. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The man of God does not need additional sources of instruction or authority to be fully equipped. Scripture is sufficient. And then James says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And Peter says, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. Both James and Peter, like Paul, indicate that God's Word is sufficient for salvation. We do not need tradition or a hierarchy of priests to mediate our salvation. When talking to Roman Catholics about salvation, you might want to emphasize that the Roman Catholic Church often seems to combine justification and sanctification. While the Bible indicates that human effort must be part of the latter, it plays no part in the former. There are literally dozens of passages on this, but perhaps the most straightforward is Ephesians 2:8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. We can agree that we must work hard to grow in holiness. And Paul writes that we must work out your salvation with fear and trembling, in Philippians 2:11. Roman Catholics may use this verse to justify their view of justification. But we know that Scripture cannot contradict Scripture. And since the rest of Scripture is clear that we do not earn our justification, we understand this verse to be referring to sanctification. Next, we will move to non-practicing Catholics, or those unaware of Roman Catholic Church's teachings. These Catholics treat Roman Catholicism more like an identity than a religion. It's a community which they belong more than a faith which they practice. Now, to be totally fair, there are many Baptists like this. There are many Southern Baptists like this. Many people will say, I grew up in church, or I went to a Christian school, or my family's Baptist. Even before I was saved, I went and joined the army, and I had to fill out the information for my dog tags. Under religion, I put Baptist. It wasn't because I was a Christian, I wasn't saved, I wasn't repentant and believing in Christ for salvation. I simply thought, what kind of funeral would my family want for me if I die? And I put Baptist. So there are many people of all religions that claim to be an adherent of a religion, and really they aren't. Amongst Roman Catholics, many of them will say, hey, I'm a Roman Catholic, really without knowing what the Roman Catholic Church teaches, just because their family are Catholic. And many of these people are the people that will just go on Christmas or Easter, but very nominal. So what we've discussed previously is what the Roman Catholic Church officially teaches from the Vatican. Now, most Roman Catholics you meet on the street don't believe all of these things, and a lot of them have never even heard of these things. Most mainline Roman Catholics embrace the reforming spirit of Vatican II, the Second Vatican Council, while holding fast to traditional Roman Catholic beliefs and quietly ignoring Roman Catholic teachings that don't match their lifestyle or their reasoning. So most would say they believe in the Bible, but think most of the Old Testament is children's stories or myths at best, and their beliefs are shaped mostly by your family. Most Roman Catholics you meet will not understand the intricacies of the dogma and doctrine of Roman Catholicism. We are on the outside, analyzing and teaching and holding them up to Scripture and seeing them for what they are. But when you are in it, you are not necessarily objectively declaring theology. Sometimes you're doing what the person next to you is doing and not consciously making a decision about what you believe about Christ. Catholics aren't saying that praying the rosary means that they are saying Christ is not sufficient. They might say that Christ is sufficient, and that's what makes the rosary effective. Many people identify as Catholic because that is all they've ever known, and it is comfortable and safe. So be gentle and be humble when talking with them. You could be tearing apart the comfort and security of someone's entire life. And praise God, and may that be the case, so they will see their need of Jesus and that He alone is sufficient to be their comfort and security and bear the weight of their lives. But still, be gentle. This may not be easy. Roman Catholicism is not so much about what you believe as who you belong to for these types of Christians. For these type of Catholics. For many, it's about identity and association more than it's about doctrine or conviction. It says something about who a person is and who their family is. There is a pride and a unity that, while subjective, is so very real. There's a felt unity. The same Mass that I'm attending right now is the same Mass being attended by millions around the globe. When I'm in a different country, I may not understand the words, but I know what to do, and I'm in sync with the person sitting beside me, and I'm linked in the whole church around the world and throughout the ages. And that's how one of these Catholics might think or believe. And they look at Protestants and they pity them that they don't have that. And there's hundreds of different kinds, and they all argue with each other. And they even argue with the ones that are supposed to be like them. And something different happens in each of them, and there is no one holding them accountable to what they are doing. What can they possibly be united on? That might be what the Roman Catholic friend that you're talking to thinks or believes. Those Baptists, there's so many different denominations, there's so many different churches. What are they even united on? Who tells them what they can believe or not? Who dictates the identity and the belief of the church? Many of these Roman Catholics will have those types of thoughts. And here's a direct quote from Vatican II, the Second Vatican Council. Our separated brethren, which they are referring to us Protestants, our separated brethren are not blessed with that unity which Jesus wished to bestow on all those who through him were born again into one body. So they think that we're brothers in a sense in the faith, but we are outside of the unity in which Christ intended for us. And we're outside of that unity because we're outside of the Catholic Church. But the truth is that as Christians, we are united on the solid rock of Christ, and the Roman Catholic Church is built on the sinking sand of traditions of men. So be aware that there is a powerful and prideful sense of belonging and subjective sense of unity, but it's fragile, and if you push on it, it'll start to crumble. The best strategy for Roman Catholics of this type is to just share the gospel as you would with an agnostic or an atheist. Just assume they're more Catholic than they are Christian, that they know more about their family identity and about what you do at church, the Roman Catholic Church, than about the gospel. And simply present the gospel as if they're an atheist or an agnostic. Concluding this session, I have an example, a concluding story. You may be talking to somebody and ask them, "Why do you pray to Mary?" They'd reply, "Because God is scary and mad at me, and I can't understand Jesus. How am I supposed to relate to a single man who was perfect and uptight and is supposed to resemble my father who abused me? But Mary I love. She's a woman like me, and she is kind and gentle and understanding. So I pray to Mary because I can relate to Mary, and she will talk to God for me. And Jesus will do what she says because he's perfect and will listen to his mom like he did at the wedding at Canaan with the wine. This could be a conversation that you have with a Catholic. Her understanding of God is this mix of her own life experience and logical conclusion of relationships mixed up with the Bible stories and uncontextualized verses. You can also see that her whole life's history and her identity is wrapped up in this. So it's not a simple intellectual exercise of pointing out inconsistencies. It's messy. We should have compassion on our Roman Catholic friends and family who are confused about the gospel. As this really short interaction, really more than a story, shows, Roman Catholics can be familiar with the stories and language of the Bible, but miss the main point. We should seek lovingly to help them see what is in God's Word so they can meet the Savior whose name they profess.